Welcome to the 49ers Now podcast with LMBP. We're recording this on Thursday night at like 3 a.m. so Elliot could watch the Thursday night football game. That was probably the worst football game I've ever seen. Elliot, why did we have to endure that?
That was bad. I mean, let's actually talk about that for a second. I think the NFL is just obviously the NFL is blowing it in a lot of different ways, but we got to talk to the scheduling committee here for a couple reasons. First of all, the NFL should be able to flex any game. I know that's not feasible, especially a Thursday night game, because they have to plan around it. You know, the teams have to know when they're playing.
Right, but like Sunday games or... You know, late in the season,
Sunday,
Monday night games.
There's a Super Bowl rematch, and it's just one of the afternoon games, and the Sunday night game is Carolina-Pittsburgh. That's ludicrous. That's just horrible on the NFL's part. And
yeah, it makes no sense.
They also don't seem to understand, like, simple math. It seems like there's all these, like, 14 morning games. We're on the West Coast. So 14 morning games. And then, like, two games in the afternoon. Like, you know, I guess that's not even close to the biggest gripe with the NFL right now. But since you brought it up, I thought I'd throw it out there.
Oh, yeah. You know, just pile on when they have a new domestic violence case every other day hitting the presses. And I guess since we last spoke, news broke about the AP thing, or it caught on a little more than I guess it had in the past, and the Vikings have waffled back and forth, and now he's officially out. And I'm currently running the domestic violence abuse fantasy football league. My entire bench is basically suspended players. It's a little depressing, honestly. But and then the Dwyer news broke today for Arizona. He apparently, his wife turned him down for a little foreplay, so he decided to headbutt her in the face. And then, for good measure, he also punched her the next day, and she finally went to the police after the second assault.
Just so people understand that you're not the biggest D in the world, you don't mean you're running a fantasy football domestic violence league. You mean that on your regular fantasy football team.
I didn't do it on purpose. I drafted these players by accident.
Right.
I didn't realize I needed to scour arrest records before drafting my team.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, it goes back to what I said in week one, which was before the Ray Rice video came out, before all of it. When people were like, oh, they got it wrong, but at least he admitted he got it wrong, and now it's six games for a first violation, so that's good. I said then, and I'll repeat it again, they still got it wrong. It should be automatically you're out for the season.
Yeah.
First offense, second offense, you're booted for life, no questions asked. And now it's a slippery slope here. I mean, what these guys did is absolutely horrible. I agree that they should be suspended immediately. It's not booted out of the league. I mean, it's just unbelievable what these guys try. That being said, I am a strong believer in the Constitution. I'm a strong believer in due process. And, you know, you start doing things like this, and you're setting a very
due process doesn't
precedent for moving forward.
Due process doesn't apply to employers and employees. If an employee can be fired for whatever reason, I mean, you could get too drunk out with your employer and say something stupid to him and he can fire you, so you don't have to...
Right. No. I'm just saying that the idea that you can be found guilty essentially by the media or by the court of public opinion, right.
So let's draw a distinction here. And do you lump Peterson in with the other guys? Because that's essentially what happened with Peterson. He's getting lumped in when he did discipline his kids. And granted, I did look at the photos, and I mean, it's a 4-year-old kid and he whipped the shit out of him. But you think there should be some distinction between the two, or he should just be thrown in with the same severity? even though maybe his intent was actually to discipline his child and not hurt his child.
Yeah, I mean, AP is a weird situation. I mean, a lot of stories have come out that his dad, you know, disciplined him in the same way, and, you know, he grew up in East Texas or wherever he grew up. My take is, I mean, it's hard to walk a mile in his shoes, right? I didn't grow up getting, you know, beatings. But
it's also a Southern thing, though, man. I remember picking a switch off of a tree when I was younger, and I don't actually think it was used. I think the mere threat of them using the switch was enough for me to be like, yeah, I'm not going to do that again. But there was definitely like spankings and stuff. I definitely think it's a Southern mentality that, you know, obviously it's a gray area, and you don't want to abuse your child. Like, I don't think that there should ever be physical bruises. It's not like, you know, getting paddled at a fraternity house. You shouldn't, you know, have trouble sitting down for a week. It should be...
Well, your pops can rest assured. I just Googled the statute of limitations on child.
He's in the clear.
Yeah. You know, I think it's horrible what AP did. I mean, if you look at the pictures, I mean, it's just, I can't even look at the pictures. It's horrible. And it sounds like he's done this before, based on, you know, the other story that came out where they have text messages. It's a very, you know, the Dwyer thing. I mean, just he should be gone and never come back. And I really feel the same way about Ray Rice. I mean, you watch that video. I mean, it's just that's horrible. But I will repeat what I said, that you do need to gather facts. There does need to be a conclusion based on those facts, rather than, you know, attenuated or just mere speculation as to what took place.
And that sort of segues.
And I understand that the NFL is in a very tight spot. Especially with all of these things happening, it seems like, you know, back to back to back. But you don't want to set a precedent that puts the NFL on this irreversible course where anytime they hear that anything happens, they have to take action immediately.
Right. And so that actually leads to two things. First, you know, we didn't really touch on Ray McDonald last week. I guess we either forgot or glossed over it, but the Niners have been pretty steadfast in standing by his side until the facts come out. And at this point, I have to believe that they know something the public doesn't, because with all the other stuff that's happening, they don't really want to end up on the wrong side of this when the news does come out. If he looks very guilty of something serious, the Niners are going to look pretty bad.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree with that. News did come out today and it wasn't leaked by the Niners. This was put out by the San Jose Police Department, that there was a disturbance at the McDonald's home a couple months ago, I believe, where his wife pulled a gun on him. That's basically all we know. That could have nothing to do with the more recent events. It could have something to do with the more recent event. It's just another data point. We don't have any real context, so we don't know what to make of it yet. But I think the point that you make is a very astute one, that if Harbaugh or Balky or whoever had facts that, you know, showed that, you know, Ray McDonald was abusive, on that night a couple weeks ago, you know, it would make zero sense for them to take this stand.
Yeah, and I feel
so
like...
that leaves us with basically two possibilities. Either they don't know, which I would find hard to believe, or they're convinced that he was not in the wrong.
Yeah, and I feel like Harbaugh will be the one really out on a limb, because he's the one who had no tolerance for this sort of thing and publicly stated it multiple times.
And I mean, like, Dianne Feinstein called for him to sit out. Jerry Rice, not that Jerry Rice is the same as Dianne Feinstein, but he's a legend in the Bay Area. Steve Young, others.
I would say that 99.9% of Niners fans know who Jerry Rice is. I would say maybe, what do you think, 60% know who Dianne Feinstein is? 70?
I mean, it depends on what segment of the population you're talking about, but outside of California,
I know,
if you're
yeah.
not... I mean, the average football fan outside of California probably doesn't know who Dianne Feinstein is.
Yeah. I mean, she's been around Bay Area politics forever, but yeah, I feel you. Right, but then that leads me to the other thing when you were talking about the Niners kind of trying to get out in front of this and other teams, you know, waffling and all these press conferences these teams are making. And the NFL, is Goodell in a bunker somewhere hiding? He's been MIA for the better part of a week.
You know, I mean, what can he really do? He's obviously underwater. I mean, the one thing I can speak on is, you know, Anheuser-Busch came out and said, you know, they're troubled by this. Well, I mean, give me a break. I mean, that sounds like it, to me, it sounds like the NFL and, you know, Anheuser-Busch could be in cahoots. I mean, this is all, you know, just speaking hypothetically, but it seems to me that Anheuser-Busch goes to them and just says, hey, we have to come out against this or else you look horrible as an organization, being one of your biggest sponsors. And the NFL was like, yeah, come out. We're down. Everyone's, you know, basically shitting on us at this point. So say whatever you want to say. It gives us another opportunity to say, you know, we know we messed up. We're trying to get better. We're hiring females, et cetera, et cetera. And, I mean, Anheuser-Busch didn't pull any of the money they're giving the NFL. So,
yeah.
You know, people are like, oh, you know, they really stood up and took a stand. I mean, not really. I mean, they came out and said they're against domestic violence. I'm against lighting small puppies on fire. Like, I mean, this is a pretty obvious stance. And they didn't take any action besides making it safe. So,
no, I know, but,
you know,
like, shouldn't they?
I had someone ask me, you know, about my opinion on this just yesterday, I think, about, you know, sponsors are pulling out with Adrian Peterson, but they're not pulling out of, you know, sponsoring the NFL. And my point was, I think there's somewhat of it. Well, first of all, just backing up for a second, I mean, corporations, they don't have a heart. I mean, individuals have hearts and, you know, feelings, but corporations...
Elliot, corporations are people. Ask the government. Corporations are people.
Okay, well, big business doesn't have a heart. And that's basically the way, I mean, I guess it kind of should be, right? You know, I mean, they have shareholders. They should
right.
be about the bottom line. Essentially, they have a fiduciary duty to maximize profits and do what's best for... the company. So in that sense, being directly tied to Adrian Peterson is bad for them because that's directly tying them to a child abuser or alleged child abuser. But being attached to the NFL, first of all, the NFL is the number one rated TV show. It's the number one sport in America. So this is big money for them. And being attached to the NFL, yes, the NFL messed this up, but they're attached to the company that employs these bad guys. The NFL itself didn't directly do anything. They flubbed majorly on taking care of the situation, but it would be much worse. My point to my friend was it would be much worse in the NFL or these sponsors, corporate sponsors' hand would be forced if there was something that the NFL had done on a more direct and institutional level. Like if it was uncovered that the NFL will not allow minorities to be team owners, then Anheuser-Busch would say, see ya.
Or if they were making a concerted effort to cover up these domestic violence cases for a better part of a year and then that was exposed as a cover-up or something, that would be a little more. But to your point, though, you know, the money and the value of the sponsorship is in the stars, not the league. It's in Adrian Peterson. It's in, you know, Calvin Johnson. It's without these players, without Aaron Rodgers and all these, you know, personalities, what is the NFL? It's nothing. And that's sort of where I think they need – the only real job of the NFL is to come out with clear and concise directives on discipline, probationary measures, things of that nature. And I just felt like the last week the Vikings changed their decision on Adrian Peterson three times, and you know, teams are all over the place in making decisions. The Niners obviously haven't done anything with McDonald yet. They're sticking by them. So there's no consistency across the board, and meanwhile the league is just silent. And you would think they would do some public things to try and say, we are currently setting up programs for our players on domestic violence training.
Yeah, I mean, they've done some of that. They've hired more women recently into, you know, bigger positions, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, I guess I disagree with one of your fundamental, you know, overlaying statements, which is that it's a star-driven league. I actually disagree with that. I mean,
Well, and the teams. So people cheer for the teams and then the players second. So, you know, I was reading an article about this earlier today. If sponsors started to waffle or pull on the NFL, the teams could leave and do their own thing. Or if there was a player strike based on a certain issue, you know, teams could leave and form their own other league, and it would no longer be the NFL. And their argument was people are still going to cheer for the Packers as long as they're playing against good competition. So, you know, what does the NFL provide other than this governing body to sort of make sure players aren't beating their wives and, you know, killing dogs and doing other stuff that they probably shouldn't be doing, and to negotiate TV rights? That's where the money is. The sponsors start pulling out of TV, they start losing part of that $7 billion they make off the TV rights. You know, who knows what happens to the NFL. But ratings really aren't down. I don't expect them to go down. I think they were down slightly, but not enough to really make a difference. A lot of that fluctuates with matchups and not really, you know. So, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, all I was going to say is, I mean, just make a comparison, right? If the NBA loses LeBron, the NBA is in serious trouble.
Right.
If the NFL loses Adrian Peterson, I don't really care because the NFL puts out such a good product. I will watch the Browns versus the Vikings on Thursday Night Football because it's the only game on. And okay. It's such a good product. But alternatively, I would never in a million years watch the Bucks play the Sixers ever. Even if my TV was stuck on one channel, I would just turn off the TV. So,
you did just watch Atlanta beat the Buccaneers by what, 50 points?
Yeah, but it's a good product. And to your point, your second point, I heard that Sunday Night Football was like one of the highest ratings ever.
Yeah, there's the Sunday Night was back up, but the regular day games were down a little bit. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. The ratings really haven't changed much, but I don't know, man. I'm kind of, hopefully this is the end of this and we don't have to talk about it again next week and there isn't another story in 3 days about another player. But I wish we had something a little...
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the reality of it is that you're dealing with a segment of the population whose job is to go to work and be extremely violent.
Right.
Just to give you an example, I mean, my job is to go to work and argue, essentially. You know, maybe it's not out loud, but I'm drafting a brief. That's an argument. I mean, that's what I do all day, every day. So sometimes when I come home,
you disagree with everything.
If my wife wants to have a simple conversation, yeah, you know, I go into lawyer mode if I disagree with her. And I imagine it would be hard if you're an NFL player to go every day and be unbelievably violent and then come home and just shut that off.
Right.
So there is something there, but yeah, I mean, I hope and pray that this is the end of it. But, you know, we'll just have to see. Anyways, I want to go move on to a happier topic, but we don't have a happier topic.
I was going to say, unfortunately, we can talk about the first half.
We gave up a win this week. I actually hate when we lose more than anything. I don't want to dwell on this game too much. I'm just going to give you my nutshell opinion, and then I want to talk about something that really does matter, which is the pundits' reactions week to week in the NFL, which I think is the more interesting story here. But anyways, on to the game. Tale of two halves, of course.
So,
tale of two Kaepernicks.
Did this game remind you of the Seattle playoff game at all, man? Like, they looked great in the first half. They weren't up as much as they should have been, and then it just sort of changed. The game changed, the momentum changed, and this team does not know how to play with a lead at all.
Yeah, well, the good news is, so our team, ever for as long as I can remember, at least in the Harbaugh era, does not know how to play with a lead and does not know how to play when people believe in them. So that's why I think this is very good. It turns people back into non-believers, and it puts a chip back on our shoulder, which is where we play our best. But let me just give you a 30-second my recap of the game. I thought we played well. We obviously left a lot of points on the field. I think their secondary, I mean, some of those interceptions were pretty incredible.
Yeah.
That rookie DB, I mean, you know, you got to give it up. I mean, some of those plays were unbelievable. But, you know, we left too many points out there. Our D got a little bit soft in the second half. And
tired,
you know,
and they're beat up.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. What's the latest on VD? I hope VD can play this weekend because we need him, obviously.
It's nothing serious, but they think it's a minor ankle sprain, but he's still not. I don't think he's practicing fully yet, so it's going to be like a game-time decision.
Sure. So anyways, but the one thing that I do want to focus on.
But before you go into that real quick, with Cap, didn't you think though, like some of the interceptions were, like one of them was diving, but the argument and the criticism and everything about Cap is he just doesn't go through progressions at all. And he stares down his receiver and he throws it to that receiver. And he did that a lot in this game. He's very good when the pocket breaks down and he has to scramble and improvise, but when he's trying to be a pocket passer, I just don't see him doing the things that he needs to do as a quarterback. You can't stare down a receiver in the NFL and expect not to get picked off, even if the guy looks like Superman coming from 20 yards away.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was odd to me because we were up pretty big, right? And normally...
Well, so going into first half, I almost text you because when they scored that touchdown going into first half and we should have been up like 30 to nothing or 25 to nothing, I almost sent you a text that said, yo, we're going to lose this game. But I didn't want you to like send me back the I'm going to punch you in the face
already,
emoticons.
You already instituted a new policy in my brain, which is not to accept your text during games. Because they're so unbelievably negative. But, you know, anyways, it is what it is. Anything can happen on any given Sunday. Are we better than the Bears? Yes. I would say we win that game at least 8 out of 10 times, probably 9 out of 10 times. I'm not very impressed with the Bears.
I give credit to Cutler, though. That shot he took, and then he got up, he played... He was non-existent before he took that shot, like dead center of his chest. And the commentators are like, oh, he's probably done for the game. He might play this series and then be out after halftime. And he balled out after that.
Yeah.
I don't remember who hit him, but somebody lit him up.
It was Quinton Dow. It is what it is. Anyway, the main thing that I wanted to discuss is how stupid every analyst in the world is, besides definitely me and possibly you. It's just unbelievable to me. I looked up the power rankings this week. I always look at ESPN power rankings. They have the Bengals third and the Eagles fourth. That is just insane. They're just doing it based on what happened the week before. I can tell you right now who the top five teams in the NFL are, and those teams aren't in there. The Eagles almost lost to the Jaguars, and the Bengals have Andy Dalton at quarterback. It's still a quarterback-driven league, and having that ginger behind the helm, he is not an elite ginger.
You're such a self-hating ginger, Elliot.
Yeah, and the upside is just his ceiling is too low. Can they win games? Yes. Can they make the playoffs? Yes. Are they an elite team in the NFL? Absolutely not. Absolutely, positively not. And you know, I listened to Simmons' podcast this week, and it's incredible. Simmons is extremely knowledgeable on basketball. In terms of basketball, he always breaks down like this. He's extremely knowledgeable. But football, the more I listen to him, the more I realize he's just week to week too. He'll just throw stuff out there, and then, you know, last week he said the Niners were phenomenal, you know, all these good things, and now we're horrible.
The Bengals,
he said, are an elite team in the NFL.
He was selling on the Niners preseason, so he's probably trying to go back to that. But two, he's always just more about the gambling side of the NFL as opposed to being, I think, a credible analyst. And he'll say just about every week that he usually does terrible on the gambling side of things. So, all the pundits, man, they're all over the place, and they're all just sort of...
Oh, yeah, the Bills look really good. Are you kidding me? The Bills, it's a joke. If the Bills are 2-0, it just so happens that was week one and week two. If the Bills are 5-5 going into week 11 and 12 and win two games, no one even blinks. The Bills are not good. DJ Manuel is not good. They do not have elite talent. They do not have elite quarterback. And they do not have an elite team. And the fact that people can be saying otherwise is just amazing to me. Like, are they not watching the games? Do they not know who E.J. Manuel is? Andy Dalton? Andy Dalton is not a top 15 quarterback in this league. There's been one team in our lifetime. Well, yeah, I would say one team in our lifetime that won the Super Bowl with a below-average quarterback, and that's the 2000 Ravens.
Yeah.
With Dilfer.
Yep.
I mean, you can say what you want, but the NFL, especially with these rule changes, it's all about offense, and it's still all about the quarterback.
So who would your top five be right now?
My top five right now would be, this is not in order, Seahawks, Broncos, Niners, Pats,
I gotta say
Carolina. I mean, Carolina's look pretty good.
Yeah, Carolina looks good. I don't know if I could put the Pats in there, man. Do you think so?
Yeah, with Brady and Belichick, I mean, they're good.
I mean, Arizona's had a couple impressive wins. Where would you put them? Top 10
man,
at least, right? They're gonna be
impressive wins. They beat the Giants last week. Who did they play in week one?
They came back and beat the Chargers, didn't they? I think they came back and beat the Chargers.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it turns out that the Chargers would be good.
The Chargers did just beat the Seahawks.
That's another thing that was horrible about last week.
Missed opportunity.
To go up again against the Seahawks.
But anyway, you
bring up the Cardinals. Let's get into this week.
Yeah, our opponent / the NFC West leading Arizona Cardinals.
Right. Well, it's also interesting because, as I brought up before, the Seahawks have a tough challenge in the Broncos team that they smoked in the Super Bowl, but it's totally revamped, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So they could lose. They could legit lose this weekend. Seahawks could. And I'm picking the Broncos in that game, obviously unbelievably biased, but whatever. As far as the Cardinals, I think we win this game. I think we win it handily. Like I said, we play it best when the media and everyone doesn't believe in us, which is where we are now. We're going to play with a chip on our shoulder. And, you know, Carson Palmer, it looks like, is going to be out. Abraham is back, which to me is a really sad story because it sounds like he's already had memory loss and alcohol abuse, and he should have just sailed into the sunset here. I don't know why he's come back when it sounds like he essentially, you know, wanted to leave football for good because he's having serious issues. But honestly, Dwyer is out. I don't believe he was their starting running back anyways. I think he was their running back.
No, it's Ellington.
Yeah, too. So, you know, Larry Fitz, I watched the first Monday Night game, or at least, like, the first half, since I'm actually on the East Coast time right now, and that doubleheader on Monday night, you have to stay up till, like, 4 o'clock in the morning for the East Coast. It's insane. But Fitz wasn't even, like, targeted. I don't really know what the story is there. But we're a better team. Like, I don't care about the record, okay? Like, I just, on any given, a lot of the times in the NFL, the best team in the NFL does not win the Super Bowl. In fact, more often than not, the best team in the NFL does not win the Super Bowl. Last year, the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. They are arguably the best team, right up there with us. But I think they were actually a little bit better than us last year. But normally, the best team doesn't win the Super Bowl. They just get hot, and they put together a string of wins. And it goes back to my point. On any given Sunday, anything can happen. Literally, that's what makes the NFL so great. So the fact that we're 1-1 and the Cardinals are 2-0, that means nothing to me. If you told me right now that – or here's a perfect example. The Bills are 2-0. And the Colts are 0-2. Can you look at me with a straight face and say that the Bills are better than the Colts? Absolutely, absolutely not. But, you know, these pundits who are just garbage, in my opinion, you know, they're week to week and they make these just horrible decisions. But I'm not scared of Arizona. They do have a stout defense, but I just honestly believe we're a better team. And yes, I've already stated the better team can lose, but I think the odds are always on the better team's side. Unless you lay an egg, you're going to win that game.
I don't know, man. You mentioned their players that are out. We have injury upon injury. You mentioned our secondary kind of got tired or didn't play the same in the second half. Like I said last week, they're basically starting to towel boy at this point. Now we lose Vernon Davis. He's still limping around the locker room. They're saying he's unlikely to start or he's acting, one or the other. I know there's nothing serious or permanent with his injury, but it's likely we'll probably be without him this week. And we've seen Cap play. We saw him play last year without VD. He just kind of looks lost on offense. I think VD's like a good outlet for him when everything else breaks down. But I don't know. I'm concerned. I'm not positive we're winning this game, man. Plus, it's on the road. Arizona's D stout. Even if Arizona is inept at quarterback and on offense, their D can probably keep them in a game.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be close.
Well,
and am I
pessimistic pivotals back in the building.
I mean, I was hoping we would win last week, and then this was probably what I had slotted as our first loss. But this could be a 7-3 game or like a 9-7 game or I don't know.
What's your score prediction? I'm going 24-14 Niners.
I'd say we win 9-7, 3 Phil Dawson field goals.
Interesting.
How boring is that going to be?
No, Niners game is boring. But anyway, look forward to talking to you about it next week. Until then, go Niners. Onward and upward.
Go Niners.